This holiday, deck their countertops with peppermint white chocolate mochas, gingerbread lattes, and pumpkin cream cold brews. Ninja Luxe Cafe is the ultimate gift. It's the number one best-selling espresso machine in the U.S., perfect for the coffee lovers in your life. If they can dream it, they can brew it. No skills needed. Espresso balanced. Drip coffee, rich. Cold brew in a flash. Hands-free, silky microfoam. Dairy or plant-based milks. Bring joy into their holiday and every day after with Ninja Luxe Cafe. Shop now.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the crew is back. It's the lineup that everybody asked for. Christopher is back in the casa. He's here. He's got the Stanley Cup behind him. Chris, still watching even though the Bruins are out. You got to be honest.
Of course. Absolutely. I watched that game last night. It was great. Panthers.
Florida looks good. We'll save that for some sports talk. So, going to change things up this week. Had a great interview with Cardboard Promotions, Doug Keating. Fantastic opportunity to sit down and talk to Doug. It'll be in this week's episode. So, let's get rolling. As we usually do, we're going to Ed's bag to talk, not emails this week, on our YouTube page, we had the whole question of what is the greatest sports trophy out of the big four sports? And Ed, you want to take it from there?
Sure. Well, this is sponsored by GoonGuard, GoonGuard.com. Check out Andy. He's got the packaging right there.
Right in the locker room.
Right in the locker room. I mean, I bet you, I wonder if those guys, I wonder if they have them. I wonder if they have their initials or anything in there. That way they can talk some smack with their about without talking. But anyway, go ahead.
Setting the tone.
Setting the tone. Calling us names.
Go ahead, Ed.
Well, the poll question is: what is the hardest or best championship trophy that is out there? So I'm gonna kick it to you guys.
Let's start with Chris. We haven't heard from him for a little bit. He's got a trophy in back of him right now. Could that be his answer?
Obviously, this is opinion-based, but everybody that has an opinion that says it's not the Stanley Cup is wrong. There is no championship. There's no playoff feeling like there is in hockey. There's no trophy where you're eating cereal and drinking beer and having spaghetti and meatballs out of. There's just no such thing in any other sport that would make that trophy better than the Stanley Cup. The way it's been used over, the last whatever years since it was created, it's just amazing what they do with it. Everybody gets a turn with it. Everybody's eating some kind of poutine, ice cream sundaes. It's an amazing tradition, the way it gets brought out on the ice with the white gloves. It really, to me, it's amazing. Just the size of the damn thing, the weight of it. It's an incredible, it should be like another wonder, one of those wonders of the world. It's bigger than the freaking Great Wall of China to me. Come on.
So you're saying it's like the ninth wonder of the world, or is it the 10th because China was the ninth wonder of the world?
Yeah, we'll go with the 10th. China's a beast.
Well, I already see somebody on the panel chuckling a little bit. So I'm going to kick it to, as up to this point, my guy, Brad. Bradford, you have the floor.
Yago, kick me off this podcast. So of the big four, NBA easily at the bottom. I think that's probably the least desirable, trophy. I will put Stanley Cup just barely above NBA, and then tied World Series trophy and NFL Super Bowl trophy. Now, in terms of popularity in America, baseball and football championships, probably two of the most watched, most looked at, sought after trophies. Now, Chris, my man, you said everybody gets a turn and a shot at this thing. You kind of made my argument for me. You know, you kind of downplayed the importance of the Stanley Cup by saying everybody gets a turn and you're eating cereal and stuff out of it. Man, that's dog water, bro. Did you see Tom Brady taking his Super Bowl trophy and throwing it from boat to boat in Tampa Bay? That was epic, bro. I would say probably in terms of revenue, popularity, how just epic the night goes for the championship, Super Bowl is probably the most sought after, most important trophy in American sports. Hands down, Super Bowl trophy. Tom will definitely agree with me.
Thomas, they're calling you out. Now, you're not known for being the biggest chirper, being a goaltender. So they're calling you out, Thomas. What do you got?
Well, first of all, I see his Tom Brady throwing the trophy over from boat to boat, and I raise him with the Dallas Stars throwing the Stanley Cup off of a balcony of a hotel, trying to hit a pool and missing and having it hit the ground, and they had to actually repair the Stanley Cup.
See, but hockey players don't even respect the trophy. How can it be the top one?
No, they know how hard it is. You have to win in the NFL. How many games do you have to win in the playoffs? What, so maybe four?
And you got to win a handful, a majority of 16 regular season games to even get there.
NHL has to play, what, 82 games, Andy? Yep. And then you have to win 16 in the playoffs.
Yep.
My goodness. They're not really getting paid in the playoffs. Everything's in escrow, as the Phantom explained a couple weeks ago. So this is all for the love of the game here. And if you want to talk physicality, yes, NFL is physical. Now, can you imagine, say, the 49ers have to play the Chiefs and you have to win 4 out of 7 games to win? You earn my respect. Don't get me wrong. I respect the NFL, but to me, it's the Stanley Cup all the way.
That's a lot of concussions.
Speaking of concussions, let's go to Ed on his take on this one.
First of all, Brad, you're wrong. Brad's just wrong, okay? Now, first and foremost, I think that, you know, any of those four major sports, it's all a road to a championship for each one. Having played a little bit of football, having played a little bit of baseball, and playing a little bit of hockey, I would have to say that hockey probably is going to be the most difficult one. I mean, if you look back at what Deion Sanders says, the hardest thing for him to do is hit a fastball or hit a curveball. Well, there's something to be said about baseball too. But I mean, as far as ranking system, Stanley Cup is number one just because of how physical it is. You have to win 16 games to win the cup. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And so, you know, as we saw last night, if you play physical, you're probably going to win. I'd say the NFL championship number two. I'd say Major League Baseball number three, and then basketball number four. So those are my picks. I'd have to say that, you know, Brad, I think part of it is that your lack of hockey knowledge has to do with the fact that you don't understand what goes on with the Stanley Cup. It's the ultimate respect that each person gets a day with the cup. They take it to their hometown. I mean, they take it to some of these places up in Canada where there's only 500 people in the town. And like, you know, hockey is life up there. And I know that there's two of us on this panel besides myself that did go to Hockey Night in Canada in Montreal, I'd say about 23, 24 years ago. Mm. And if you've never been to a Hockey Night in Canada, it's like Super Bowl Sunday on a Saturday night in Canada. So I think the Stanley Cup is number one.
My rebuttal, please.
Sure.
Panel. So
you got it.
First of all, this season, this hockey season, I've watched exactly 4 games, maybe. And they were all boring. I fell asleep on all of them. And they were playoff games. It is not America's sport, y'all. Y'all want it to be. It's not. I get it. Now, Ed, you said it's important. Everybody gets a turn. They go to hometowns and they do visits. You know what that sounds like to me? That sounds like ABC's The Bachelor, bro. Everybody gets a hometown date. Everybody gets to go home and get a turn and they pick the winner. That's what hockey sounds like to me. That's probably its closest relative in live sports entertainment to me would be ABC's The Bachelor.
Who found this guy?
How do you know about what The Bachelor is all about?
Bro, Go back, look at my old tweets, man. I was all about it. I ran, led, and won 2 years in a row at Fantasy Bachelor League. Can't mess with me, bro. Can't mess with me. Oh, it's raining.
Chris.
Not only do you have questionable opinions, but you also have questionable taste in music and TV viewing.
and possibly men. Chris, do you want to close this out or anything? Because we're going off the rails here.
I mean, I guess I get where he's coming from as far as here in America. Yes, the biggest night in sports is the Super Bowl, right? Millions of people are surrounded, the TVs, parties, watching that. Obviously, it's way bigger revenue wise. I get where he's coming from, but like when you understand the sport of hockey and the intensity, the level up that these players push themselves as soon as day one of the playoffs hit, it's just a whole different animal. It's a whole different. And unless you follow the sport like us four do, as much as we always have our whole lives, like it's just that in understanding that we have, it's in our hearts, it's in our blood. It's so much more than anything else. It's hard to explain. You just have to feel it. It's this crazy feeling. Hockey fans are the most avid fans in the world.
So let me close this segment out with asking a question. Why do we think that the NBA trophy is number four right off the hop? Why do you guys think the NBA trophy is fourth automatically?
Right now, nobody plays defense.
Yeah, it's so watered down. The big stars get the foul calls. I heard it on the announcer the other day. Dude got literally tackled. No call. And they're like, well, that's the power of being a star. If you're a star, you get that call. If you're a role player, you're coming off the bench, you don't. And I think out of all the sports, the NBA is probably the most easily swayed in favor of it. Here comes a conspiracy theory, the Vegas line, or, you know, the larger market team that they want to see push through to generate revenue. So I think that's why it's too watered down.
So one of these weeks when we're looking for a tinfoil hat segment, I have a conspiracy theory that could be a really good deep dive. Why is there a conspiracy to keep the NHL down in the United States and not let it be marketed like the NFL and Major League Baseball? That's always been a conspiracy theory to me. You know, it's accessible to everybody. I mean, it's on ABC, it's on ESPN. But yeah, why is the marketing so laxed in America compared to, you know, say, Canada? Why can't the players like a Sidney Crosby or Connor McDavid be showcased in commercials in the U.S. like a Tom Brady or a LeBron James? That's a good conspiracy theory, something to talk about. But let's move on. Let's talk some wrestling. We're going to do a little MJF returns. Tom, what do you think about the return of MJF?
I thought it was great that he came back. My biggest gripe is where they had it happen on the pay-per-view. I mean, they should have done it either later in the show or even save it for the regular show, Dynamite, because, I mean, their ratings haven't been that great. I mean, that would have been a huge boost to them. But, I mean, having him back is definitely going to help. I mean, and then I have no idea why they didn't have him show up on Dynamite this past week after he showed up at the pay-per-view.
Yeah, if you look at the logistics of their roster, the only guy left after CM Punk left, he is the only guy that's actually a ratings mover. Nobody else moves the needle on that roster except him. Him being back, I still don't think he's a lifer with AEW, but I do think that them getting him back is a positive for them, and they're in a stage of negotiation with is it Time Warner to to extend their TV deal. But since they started, their ratings have done nothing but nosedive. So you know, we talked a couple weeks ago about them jumping the shark and at what point in time they did that. I have my feelings on it. I put it on Cody leaving and CM Punk's press conference at, you know, after the fact where you called them the All Elite out and the fight happened and all that stuff. I think that's possibly a jump the shark moment too. So thoughts on MJF coming back. Ed, what do you think?
Love it. He's one of the best guys on the mic today. No matter what organization you're talking about, he knows how to build it. He knows how to build the crowd. He knows how to settle it down and then rebuild it. He's just awesome on the mic. He reminds me of all the old school wrestlers that were really good on the mic, that were good at cutting promos. He's the best today out of both organizations. I didn't see the pay-per-view. And, you know, the thing is like, if you have somebody that's such a needle mover like himself, like he is, you need to use him and utilize him properly. And, you know, and like we've talked about numerous times before, Tony, put all the five of us on the plane. We can do a better job than your writers. Come on, man.
Hey, we could do it just like this. We could send in ideas, no problem. Just we need to be on the payroll. You got guys on that payroll that will take way less to do a lot more for you than those guys. I guarantee you that. Chris, I know you're a big MJF guy. You got the staff.
Huge, right? Yep. Huge fan. Love the dude to death. Whichever promotion has him, or is going to continue to have him, or when his contract's up, lock him up. Like, good for them. Like, this guy, like you said, needle mover. He's just amazing on the mic. He's a great wrestler. He's probably one of the best heels I can ever remember in my lifetime. And you know how I'm all about guys' physiques. This guy looks amazing. Whatever he did in those, since he was gone in December, I think it was December when he left. Like, look at that dude. That dude is shredded. He looks awesome. So, just another check mark on his resume.
Speaking of guys who follow men, Bradford, what do you think of MJF's return?
I think it is more, you know, timing, like y'all said, dropping him in a 6-hour pay-per-view. I could see folks probably like snoozing through it. I mean, 6 hours is a long time to sit in front of your TV. Then they had a lot of other stuff going on in that pay-per-view with the Darby, with the blowtorch, and Copeland, who is 50 plus years old, jumping off the top of the cage and breaking his leg. And it's funny because a while back, I remember, Andy, you said, you know, AEW puts all this, you know, violence in their shows, but it's kind of unnecessary. Like, if it's scripted and it plays a part, tells a story, go ahead. But some of the risks they're taking doesn't add up to what the payout is. Now, when you're, you know, aging stars that, you know, is on the roster is out, you know, with a broken leg, but having MJF is huge for that company. I think if he ever jumps ship to WWE, that's going to be that final nail in the coffin for AEW. So I don't see them letting him go anytime soon. They would be fools if they did. So
the return of him was kind of anticlimactic. They should have saved it for a regular TV show where more people could see it, and they could get ratings out of it. I mean, people that bought the pay-per-view already got, you know, already spent their money. So you would think you would kind of draw it in with, you know, the TV ratings and having him back, and, you know, maybe somebody who's a casual fan will come back because they know that he's on. Me knowing that he's on will make me want to watch his, at least his segments. The thing I thought was interesting about that promo is he comes out and he's got the Triple H vest and leather jacket. I don't know what his angle was with that. He never said anything about it, but he had the Triple H kind of garb on. And some of the things that are takeaways from that interview, and you know, a lot of his interviews are off the rip, and it's not scripted. You can tell it's not scripted. He says that he's tired of doing the play wrestling and the comedy stuff. So I'm like, that's great. You know, get back to whatever. What I like about him is whatever those fans like, he goes against it. You know, if they're cheering him, he don't want the cheers. You know, it's like he tries to find a way to draw heat. It even at the conventions, he's in full character. I've never run into him at one of those, but when he's a heel, he's a heel. He'll write, you know, there'll be a girl that's getting his autograph on an 8x10, and he'll say, like, who am I signing this to? And she'll say, oh, it's Jenny. And he'll write two slot on there or whatever, and just, like, for space. Or, you know, somebody will pay for a combo that's a picture and an autograph. So he'll turn sideways and only let them take a picture of half his face. And he say, well, you only paid for half a picture. So when he's in heel mode, he's great. I mean, he flipped off a kid that was in a wheelchair one time, all kinds of, he was getting all kinds of heat at one point in, you know, that beginning of AEW, but great heel. I'm glad he's back. Maybe with the wrong company, who knows? But Ethan Page, I don't know if you guys remember Ethan Page. He showed up in NXT.
One last thing, Andy, about you were talking about the jacket. That was kind of an ode to Triple H, because Triple H, during one of the times he got hurt and he was out a long time, when he came back, that's what he wore. That's when he actually broke out that jacket. That's what I had written.
Okay,
and one other thing about the negotiations was I've heard that TNT's lost basketball. The NBA is out from TNT after this year. So supposedly Tony Khan is pretty sure they're going to stay there, that TNT is happy with where they are with them right now. So they don't want to lose both of them in the same time frame. So I think they're pretty safe there.
For now.
Yeah.
For now. So, Brad, real quick before we move on from wrestling, you had sent a little text message to us about the Cody AJ Styles angle. I want to bring everybody up to date on that one.
Yeah, they were cooking on Friday Night SmackDown. So they've been hinting at AJ Styles' retirement for weeks. And at the start of the show, he's there in a suit. You know, he goes out and he's like, hey, I think tonight's the night. I'm going to, you know, drop some news. He goes and talks to Cody. He goes and gets Gallows and forget the other guy's name right now. But Gallows. Yeah. And so he's like talking to them. He's like, hey, you got started this with me. You're going to end it with me. The whole episode, they got us all on the edge of our seats waiting for this dang retirement announcement. He comes out to the ring. It's the last segment of the show. Literally says he's, you know, it's the end. You know, he's like, I can't wrestle anymore. You know, I'd have to go to the back of the line to challenge Cody. I ain't got time for that no more. And he looks to his bros and he's like, one last time. And they all do it. And the whole crowd is just emotional. We're like, this sucks, man. And everybody's chanting, we love you and stuff like that. And Cody comes out. And he shakes his hand and then just clotheslines the shit out of him and then proceeds to just completely dismantle Cody Rhodes. And it was the most awesome thing I've seen in the last couple months. Great story arc, great use of AJ Styles. You know, maybe he is going to make one last run. I think he probably should look at retirement where he's at age-wise and stuff like that. But, man, it's phenomenal segment. It was incredible.
No pun
Absolutely
intended.
Incredible.
No pun intended when you said a phenomenal segment.
100% intended.
Okay. You know, the great thing about that, and I think, Ed, if you got a couple minutes this afternoon, check out the MJF promo. I think I sent it to you, but I know you didn't.
I checked it out. It was a great promo. He did a great job with that promo.
And then you got to check out the AJ Styles angle. It with Cody being involved, he's going to try to get that Dusty sympathy. Like the old man, he's going to be the Uber baby face that you feel bad for. So here's a chance for an eclectic group of heels, almost like not the Legion of Doom Road Warriors, but the Legion of Doom from DC Comics. You're going to have that rogues gallery of heels that are going to try to screw them over as six ways to Sunday, as they say. And you're going to fall in love with this guy because he's going to just keep doing the Rocky style of babyface gimmick where you pound him into the ground and you just can't kill him. He's going to be all hot like the old man, and that's the ride they're going to take you on until Roman Reigns returns. And I think that when Roman Reigns returns, he's going to be an actual face and, you know, screw around with Heyman and the Bloodline to have his, you know, because people will want to see him when he comes back. So, Chris, thoughts on, have you been watching it? I know the last couple of weeks you've been on and off with it. So, have you been watching it at all?
I've been very disconnected with anything on TV or except for hockey, literally.
Yeah, we've been kind of following that whole Cody transition, and Brad's already fed up with him. So, you know, we're gonna have to see as it plays out. Tom, I had mentioned to you before the podcast started, we were talking about a little while back about a conspiracy theory involving Kevin Sullivan. I heard Kevin Sullivan might have been in a car accident. So news on that. I don't know if it was true or if it was BS, but it's just funny how that happens after we mention him on a podcast. But if he is available, I'll take him on the podcast anytime. The Taskmaster has an open door to come on the 1973 podcast. One of my favorite heels of all time. Talking about Dusty and great villains. That is one of the best. So any more wrestling talk? Are we moving on? Anybody got anything to add? Ed, you look like you're ready to add something. Tom?
Just one quick thing. It does look like Mark Henry's done with AEW. He showed up over the weekend at MLW's show. So I guess he is officially 100% done.
So there's a couple of guys that are done. Arn Anderson is officially done with AEW. There's talks that there are some other people that are not going to have their contract renewed. And Tony Khan, the way he does stuff is he just doesn't contact them. He just lets it fizzle right out. So he totally ghosts the people that are on the out. So I think, I don't know if the Big Show's all done, but he's going to be close. I'm curious to see what's going to happen with Dustin when he's all done. That should be sometime this summer. And there was somebody else that they let their contract. It was three people from AEW. It was Arn Anderson, Mark Henry, and there was somebody else. It escapes me who it is, but I think I sent it to you guys this week. Other than that, the Becky Lynch free agency, there's something to keep an eye on. We'll see if all these pennies that they're saving with these people that they'll scoop her up. What do you think, Bradford?
I think she just her and Seth. I mean, they have a young baby, like they have a baby girl. I think they're trying to just go spend some quality family time. They've been jobbing it for the last 2 years, and I think that's all this is. Seth's gonna get healthy. She, you know, he probably needs help at home because, like, they're wrestlers, they're stars, they're famous, but they're still families, like they're still people. And I'm sure they don't want nannies raising their kids. So, and she came out, she did say she's not going to AEW, she's not coming to WWE, but she wants room to have her life, get her life in order, and come back when she's ready, type of thing. And Triple H said that he's confident she's not going nowhere. And if AEW tried to vulture her, she would bankrupt the company. Hands down. They can't afford it. There's no way. And I don't think she's going to go by herself without bringing Seth Rollins. Like, they're not going to split that. So, you know, I don't think she's going anywhere. I think she just needs a break to go be with her family. That's all it is.
Tom, you want to add anything to that?
Well, speaking of Seth Rollins, I don't know if you guys have seen online or not, but he's completely shaved his head and his beard. So he totally looks pretty unrecognizable right now. I don't know if he's just doing it because he's bored, because he's out like nursing his injuries or whatnot. But yeah, he's totally shaved everything.
Maybe he did that just so he can go out in public and, you know, not be seen or whatever. And then, you know, when it's time to come back, he can change his look up a little bit. I'm just tired of seeing him dressing like a chick, but that's a whole that's a whole nother thing. So time for some shitty picks. We can start talking sports. Let's go, Thomas.
All right. Tom's Shitty Picks is brought to you by Brock Street Brewing Company, located at 244 Brock Street South in Whitby, Ontario. Everything they brew is in-house, including their beers, seltzers, vodka sodas, and their hard iced teas. So if you're in the Whitby area, go check them out and tell them the 1973 podcast sent you.
There we go.
I want Scotty and I want our good friend of the podcast, Darren, to listen up for the next few minutes, because they all... both of them have complained about not enough basketball talk. So here we go right now. We're going to start it. Start the clock right now. My pick this week, I'm going to pick the finals. Celtics versus the Mavs. I think it's going to be a good series. I'm going with the Celtics in six. But I will say that the key to the series is if the Celtics can shut down Kyrie, because Doncic, Luka's going to get his. They played twice this year. He averaged 35 points a game, and the Celtics still beat him both times. So I think he's going to get his. It's going to be like how they used to be with Michael Jordan. The Celtics used to let Jordan just do what he wanted, and as long as they shut down Scottie Pippen and everyone else, they were happy they'd win. So I'm hoping that's what – I think the Celtics, they're just too – they have too many weapons this year. I mean, they've already lost one time in the finals with Tatum and Brown, but this year If Porzingis is healthy enough to play, he's a big key. I think Derek White has stepped up huge this year, and Drew Holiday is huge on the defensive end. So I'm going to go with the Celtics in six.
Anybody else want to add any basketball talk other than the Harlem Globetrotters? That's all I got. If we're, if we're not talking Curly Neal, if we're not talking Metal Lock Lemon, if we're not talking Harlem Globetrotters on Scooby-Doo or on Gilligan's Island, I'm out of this conversation.
Look, I don't want to take the flowers. I don't want to downplay the Boston Celtics. They made it to the finals. You play the teams that are in front of you. It's up to the other teams to manage the health of their players and the minutes to get your teams in position to be most successful. But the Boston Celtics probably had the easiest walk to the finals in the history of the NBA. The Heat, the Heat lost Jimmy Butler. The Bucks lost Giannis and Dame. The Cavs lost Donovan Mitchell. The Knicks lost Brunson. The Pacers lost Haliburton. They waltzed into there. They're healthy. They're not banged up. They didn't even break a sweat. The Mavs battled. Luka is hurt, playing hurt. Kyrie's hurt, still playing. And you said they got to stop Kyrie. Yo, good luck. My mans can finish right hand, left hand. He can shoot the J. He can hit the three-pointer. He can do it all. He can dish it when he needs to. It's phenomenal, man. I thought the Kyrie experiment was going to wind up like all his other failed super team experiments, but he's taken on this role of like mentor, father figure for Luka, who's, you know, I think only 25, and he just kind of like brought him up, and they have great chemistry. They're playing great basketball. I think it's going to be close, but I'm going with Dallas. 6-7 games. I don't know. They're going to drag it out. Obviously, NBA is going to get paid, but Dallas going to win this. 100%.
Crystal ball, Huey was making faces. Chris, do you want to add? I know you're a big Celtics fan.
I used to love basketball. I used to watch a lot of basketball. I fell off just like I fell off baseball. I don't have time for it in my life, so I've completely disengaged from the sport. But just to see another hater that somewhere in this country like Brad, who just can't stand Boston being the best sports city in the country, he's got to downplay their success. You know what? Bring another championship to Boston, baby. Let's go Celtics. I'll be at that parade if they do.
Yo, as long as LeBron stays in the West, the Celtics should dominate every season. They've been the best team in the East for like the last 8 years. And LeBron's not there. The East is so easy. They should walk into the finals every year. They have no excuse not to. No excuse.
Ed, do you have anything to add to this conversation?
Yes, Celtics in six.
I'm all by myself.
Listen.
The thing about it is just that, look, I haven't watched more than 1 minute of basketball all year. I've listened to more basketball on my travels back from Tallahassee, but you know, because the Doug Gottlieb show is on sports radio. But other than that, it's basketball. It's not like back in the 80s with Celtics versus Lakers, and it's not like Pistons and Bulls and the Knicks back when it was like really truly like how basketball was meant to be played. To kind of circle back to your point about it's pretty soft. You're still wrong about the Stanley Cup, Brad, but I about basketball.
Thomas, I can see you got something. Chris has something too. So,
well, take just one. The whole Kyrie thing. I think he's been doing this whole gimmick where he's a changed man, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It's all going to change again in Boston because he's not prepared for what's coming. The Celtics fans all week, that's all they've been talking about so far. Yeah. Is when the last time they played him in the playoffs when he was with Brooklyn, he wiped his feet on the Celtics mascot at center court. And that's all anyone's been talking about all week. So he better bring his earplugs because the last time he came and they were chanting, fuck you, Kyrie. And to the point where Jason Tatum was trying to quiet the crowd down because they were so loud. So I think he's either going to, it's one of those things. He's either going to fall off the cliff with this, or he's going to come out looking like a diamond on this one. But I just think he's too, I won't say weak-minded, but I think he's going to break in this series.
It's almost like the script writers knew what they were doing when they sent Dallas into the finals.
Chris, did you have something to add to this basketball stuff?
I did. I just, that vice president of basketball operations for the Dallas Mavericks, that dude, what kind of stiffy does he got right now on? He really had to, my boy just won the Western Conference Finals and he rips a beer out of his hand. That is lame as shit, dude. Come on. Just for that, they deserve to lose in four.
He's trying to mentor a young Luka, man. Come on. He's trying to mentor Michael Finley.
Huh? Hey, let me
Michael Finley used to play with them.
Yeah.
Let me add something to this basketball. It's a little disclaimer from your host. I just want to say that even though we're not the biggest basketball fans, maybe Brad, he loves gentlemen. He loves gentlemen in shorts, that we are not turning away any basketball or former NBA players from making an appearance on the 1973 podcast. We'd love to have you. We'd love to have you on, talk, shoot the shit, talk about how basketball was, how it should be, and all things basketball. But let's move on. Let's talk about the NHL playoffs. Let's go. My Florida Panthers, the way hockey needs to be played, are moving on to the Stanley Cup for 2 years in a row. 2 years in a row. That's the way we should play hockey. Monday, Chris wasn't here last week. We're talking about it. If there's a template for the way that hockey should be played nowadays, Florida Panthers play it. Chris, thoughts on the playoffs since the last time you were here?
I may be wrong. I don't think so. But I'm never going to go against my Bruins. So when we first did the original picks, I said, of course, the Bruins. But my actual pick was the Florida Panthers. I think Tom should have recorded that on that paper that we originally did. So, but yeah, dude, that team just, they're built for the playoffs. You know what I mean? To what they did to the Rangers, even though it was a good series, what they did to the Rangers with all that talent, you know, the goalie and net on top, they're amazing. They're gritty. They're tough. They wear you down. They're a little bit dirty. Like you gotta love it. I love the coach to death, dude. What they did to the Bruins 2 years in a row, you would think I should hate the damn team and fucking want them to, you know, completely. I hope they win the cup. Honestly, they're just a great team all around. I love watching it. As far as the West goes, though, I would like to say I think David Portnoy's won like $5.4 million in his latest gambling bets on sports. And he's got McDavid in the Edmonton Oilers right now, and he's hot. So I don't want to shut that right down. Let's see what happens there. It should be exciting.
Well, it should be tonight. You never know. I mean, Dallas is on the hook of elimination. So if they can force a game seven, you never know, but they got to win tonight. The comparison I like to make with the Panthers, the way they play is, you know, when you go get sliced meat, how when you put it in the thing, it slices it real thin. That's what they do to teams. They just grind you down. And it's like they just wear you out and they just keep coming because everybody plays the same. There's nobody that doesn't buy into that concept of the way that they're playing, whether it's, you know, somebody from Europe or one of the Canadian guys or one of the American guys. They all play the same. And I had a feeling they were going to win last night when Montador hit him cutting across. They were trying to get fancy coming into the zone. And Montador caught him on the trolley tracks and just sent him for a ride. I said, oh, yeah, these guys, they're all dialed in. And they're healthier this year than they were last year. But, Ed, you want to add something to
I surely would. But first and foremost, we actually talked basketball for 6 minutes and 52 seconds. Good for the record. Scotty, check it out. That's what we did. Circling to the NHL playoffs, man, you got to love Florida. They just put the body on the Rangers. They exposed every single weakness that the Rangers had. And, you know, I thought it was going to go differently. I had the Rangers pick to go to the Stanley Cup. So, you know, I have one horse left in the team, but they're just a great playoff team. They play hockey the way that it's meant to be played. And to take Andy's point, they grind and they just grind. And they roll four lines on offense typically. And those guys, they're just rolling and they're putting the body on everybody. And then and Sam Bennett, he's the one that leads the way. And, man, he's just such a great playoff player. Not only is he a great player, but just he leads by example, you know. And then who is they were talking about the Russian that they picked up this year.
Tarasenko.
Yes, and I mean he's bought into the program. He's blocking shots with like what 7 minutes left to go in the third period last night. I mean, how can you not like a team like that where even the European guys known to typically be a little bit softer? If anybody watch our boy Don Cherry, you know, they don't typically block shots. They don't like to do that, and they were doing it. So it's exciting to watch. And you know, I think there's a good possibility that out west it's going to go to Game 7. I really think that, I mean, just watching the Oilers, they're just a machine. And I think that ultimately they're going to win.
Yeah, call me crazy. But as far as the schedule goes, next week's podcast, usually on, we do it on the weekend. It will be game one is Saturday. So we'll have to plan accordingly, fellas, because it's going to be a fun watch. Tom, want to add to this latest round of playoffs?
First of all, I want to say it's, even though you didn't jump to the Bruins, it's good to see that you jumped off that Flyer bandwagon. It seems like you're in the Florida bandwagon.
Nope. As soon as I said it, I knew I was going to get called out by it. Nope.
But, you know, I got to root for Florida. They've got Sean Thornton working in the front office, so get that Bruin connection there. So, but they're just so tough. I mean, I thought that the Rangers would be deep enough to match them, and not even close. I mean, the Rangers looked really, really slow up against them, and they didn't look like half as physical as they usually are, to be honest with you. But the other series, I've been saying Ottinger all series, and he just hasn't come up big at all in this series so far. So I'm hoping they go seven. Hopefully he comes up big tonight and they goes to seven. But I mean, I don't know. I think granted the Canada will be happy because if Edmonton makes it, but the worst playoff they could have down here is Dallas and Edmonton. I mean, nobody is going to care, unfortunately.
Yeah. The Phantom was kind of off with the conspiracy theory of, you know, ratings boost for, you know, the Rangers versus Florida, you know, for, you know, watching it on bigger markets. So, I'm waited. I asked everybody, Bradford, what do you got?
For hockey?
Yeah.
Put me on the spot. My only comment for this is the Texas Rangers, the Dallas Mavs, and the Dallas Stars all made their conference championship games in their respective sports before the Dallas Cowboys did. So it's kind of time for the Cowboys to step it up.
So, yeah, I mean, that says a lot for the state, though, because I'll tell you a fun fact about the state of Texas with the way that hockey is actually booming right now. A couple of years back, probably about, I want to say 13 years ago, when I went for my referee certification, we went to a USA Hockey class where you got to get certified on being a referee and get your patch and all that stuff. And the guy that was giving the seminar was a national referee. And he said, if you want to make the referee job a full-time gig and get paid really well at a youth sport level, if you relocated to Florida or Texas, you could do it full time because they're booming so much and they don't have enough people with that kind of skill set to get out there and referee at any level. So that was already 13 years ago. So just imagine now. So I'm sure there are still pockets of the South that kids probably really want to play. They just don't have an avenue for a local rink or whatever. So it is booming. You would think that it would be bigger in the South because it's air conditioned all year round. So, you know, those Southern parents would love to be in an air conditioned building like that with some flip flops on instead of out getting their vitamin D in the sun. So yeah, hockey is booming in the South and we'll see. So speaking of things that are booming, we did a fantastic interview this week with Doug Keating from Cardboard Promotions. Ed, you want to kind of bring us up to speed so we can do the lead-in for this interview?
Sure. I mean, Doug came on with us. I think it was Wednesday night, talked with us for about an hour about his all the guy, a lot of his guests that he have at his car shows and the places that he does it at. He gave us some great insight on, you know, how he started. And he also gave us some great insight, some good stories about some of the people that, he's had come to his shows and that type of thing. It was just really nice of him to give us an hour of his time and talk about, you know, something he's extremely passionate about. And we thank him very much for coming on. It was great to have him.
Yeah. A couple, before we put the interview into the episode, a couple of weeks ago, the professor had won a raffle through Cardboard and got a slew of autographed material. So he does do mail-ins for all four major sports. And you can find his information on cardboardpromotions.com and on social media. He's on Facebook. The card shows probably run every 3 weeks, every month. So, he's got a big one coming up pretty soon with one of Chris's guys, Jeremy Swayman, for an autographed guest. So if you're a fan of new Bruins or old Bruins, he's having Jeremy Swayman for the first time and Adam Oates, former Hockey Hall of Famer. So if you're an old school fan or a new school fan or somebody in between, he's got mail orders and everything. So check him out at cardboardpromotions.com. And I'm going to drop that interview in probably right about here, probably. So let's move on to a segment that we are always interested in. The master of ceremonies for the tinfoil hat. Thomas, want to give us the lead in for this?
Brad's tinfoil hat conspiracy of the week is brought to you by the 1973 podcast store. Check out both stores. We're going to put the QR code in because, frankly, the email addresses are so long. I don't have, enough air in my lungs to read them both off. So, but we have, between the two stores, we have hats, t-shirts, sweatshirts, cooking aprons, tote bags, mugs, etc. So check them out. And I believe at one of the stores, right, Andy?
Yeah.
It's 20% off until Tuesday.
Yep, 20% off the store. And let's get rolling into some tin foil hat. Not the great hat that Tom has on that he got at the store, but the tin foil hat. So Bradford, you have the floor.
So you guys said my conspiracy theories weren't heavy enough. So I'm going to bring one to hopefully challenge you a little bit, Tom. The theory of Tartaria, and if you don't know what Tartaria is, it's this idea that there was a civilization on Earth way before modern civilization. We're talking Earth way older than we think it is. They were well advanced, far advanced than we have ever dreamt of. They're probably responsible for building the pyramids in Egypt and in Mexico, all the other weird architecture and structures that we found throughout history that we just can't explain how ancient man had the know-how and the means or the technology to build this stuff. Well, the excuse is, well, it was built by Tartaria. Stuff was wiped out by a great flood, a mudslide, or fires of some sort. And that we're now kind of living in this age of trying to catch up to what Tartaria was. Some of the evidence that leads to this, and really, if I'm being honest, we could do a whole hour on Tartaria and the stuff that people think is going on there. But they found an underground city in Turkey. They found all kinds of, you know, wacky stuff that they just can't explain. So my thing for this week's tinfoil hat is the New York City subway system. How do you explain the subway system? There's a lot of folks that think the civilization of Tartaria had already built out these subway tunnels. So if you go and Google New York City subways and how they were constructed, you can't find any real pictures of them being built. Now, you will see pictures of these hauled out tunnels and a bunch of dudes standing there with shovels, pickaxes, and horse-drawn carts. You'll see what looks like construction work is going, but there's no actual photographic evidence of like people building these things. They're just standing around the rubble and the dirt. Then if you look for modern day pictures of the subway systems being either maintained or refurbished or rebuilt or something like that, you'll see these massive machines, bulldozers and tractors and dump trucks the size of my house just coming in and moving all this earth. So if we need those machines to do that now, how are you going to tell me they built these things back in the late 1800s, early 1900s with some shovels, a pickaxe, and a horse-drawn cart? Like, the math ain't mathing. It's not adding up. Now you can say, oh, they blew it out with dynamite, and they did this, and they did that. Okay, I give you that point, but think of how big and intricate this subway system is in New York City. How are you going to move all that earth, all that dirt, with just some dudes, some shovels, a pickaxe, and a horse-drawn cart? How are you going to do that? That would literally take forever, forever to do that. I think they were already built. They were already there. I don't think that in the late 1800s, 1900s, they were built. And all of a sudden, we have subways. I think they were there. I think the technology was there. We discovered it. We just built it out. We refurbished it, and it turned into what it is today. That's what I'm sticking with.
Chris, you've been known to look at some dark tunnels. So what do you think of that theory?
I know nothing about that stuff, man.
Thomas, we usually go to you. Brad's
Chris winning. Chris is catching strays.
I like it, man. I don't disagree with him there. I mean, actually, I've read a little bit about this because I have a friend of mine from high school who I'm friends with on Facebook, and he's a big conspiracy guy. And this is sort of one of his things he talked about. So I don't doubt it.
So if you look at the way New York is, especially Manhattan, right? It's surrounded by water almost on three sides. How do you get subway tunnels under that years and years ago, under that amount of water? That Brad, I'm on board with you. I have a lot of questions.
Yeah, I have a lot of questions about it.
Ed, do you have any questions for this theory?
Well, I don't have any questions, but I mean, to kind of go back to what Brad first started with, you know, every single civilization has a flood story. So, you know, every ancient civilization has a flood story. So, I mean, it is extremely possible for that to have happened, for sure. You know, I mean, my question is to kind of elaborate on this point. I mean, how did the pyramids get built the way that did they get built? I mean, because those are big, really big stones, and they really pulled them out of a quarry down the Nile River, 1,500 miles away, on a little, papyrus raft. I don't know, kind of tough to take that one. And then, you know, kind of going into the ancient aliens type of thing, you know, with, you know, the buildings that were built in, you know, in Thailand, and they have almost the same pictures in South America. And they're finding all these cities and stuff like that in the Amazon and the jungles with LIDAR. Huh. Well, and these are all intricate cities. So, I mean, to dig that deep and to use, you know, a place that, you know, that we're very familiar with the big dig and how big those machines were to bore through the granite. That's pretty impressive to be able to do that with a pickaxe, a shovel, and a horse-drawn carriage, you know?
Yeah, the conspiracy theories are deep. I mean, every week you'll never run out of conspiracy theories to talk about, from the entertainment industry to the movie industry to history to civilizations to aliens to science. It'll never end. So, I mean, we could do a whole web series just on conspiracy theories. I mean, I think it's one of the more popular things from what I've, the feedback I've gotten that we talk about. People have asked for, you know, different topics that we talk about that maybe other podcasts don't really touch. So, I mean, it is the 1973 podcast. It's all things growing up in our generation. So, I mean, it falls within the knowledge of, you know, what we've learned over time about how playing outside is better than playing video games and how things have changed. So, Tom, you didn't put the tinfoil hat on this week. So
I had a feeling it was going to be a good one, so I didn't want to wear one. I agreed with him.
Yeah, I like the Tartaria thing. I mean, that's a newer thing. And I saw a interview with Bob Lazar. He's done a few different ones over the years. And they're spliced together, but they're starting to come out more and more. He was a engineer, let's just say, at Area 51 before anybody knew what Area 51 was. Now everybody knows what it is, and I think they've moved everything away from there. But his interview is fantastic. He was talking about a lot of stuff back then that people were kind of like rolling their eyes at, and now it makes a lot more sense. And one of the things, and I think I sent this to Brad this week, was that there is a classified document that he did not have access to, and it was all about religion. And the conspiracy theory of what he said was mind-blowing about the human soul and how it is a vessel for a higher power, and it is absolutely crazy. It would flip the whole religious belief thing on its ear. I mean, I think it would topple a lot of the structure even more than the altar boy scandal did for the Catholic Church and things like that. So, not to get too long-winded with that, because I think we could talk a lot about that, but we're gonna move on. Start winding down this week's episode and talk about our friends at Purchase Street Records. Go ahead, Thomas.
This week's album of the week is brought to you by Purchase Street Records, located at 53 Pope's Island, Unit 2, New Bedford, Mass., or online at purchasestrecords.com, and they also have a Facebook page. Purchase Street Records is Southern New England's largest independent record store.
All right, so we're going to wind up the episode. We're going to start with a guy that's been a recluse from the last couple episodes. He overslept 2 weeks ago, came in halfway through the episode, avoiding the Bruins elimination, avoiding the Phantom. Now the Phantom's calling out Chris. Christopher, what do you got?
I got no shout outs for today.
So
keeping it simple, I'm saving you guys some time. Go for it. I got nothing. I got nothing but problems and headaches right now, so we don't want to talk about that.
You got 99 problems? Edwin, what do you got?
Well, I'd just like to say thank you for having the original group back. It's nice to see everybody. Thanks for not sleeping through. Appreciate that, Christopher. Brad, always appreciate your interesting insight, especially about your insight about hockey. Appreciate it. You know, but no big shout outs. Just thanks for everybody for coming on. And we'd also like to thank Doug for coming on and spending time with us this Wednesday for the interview. It was great. Had some really great stories to talk about. So we appreciate him. We appreciate all of our guests, like, Joe Lyons. We appreciate, Knuckles Nelson when he comes on. We also appreciate, what's his name, from Skate Weights. And, you know, and we also appreciate the reaffirmation from Goongard. So.
All right. So I'll take this spot. Hopefully we can raise the bar a little bit. I just want to give a shout out to everybody that's been a part of the podcast since day one. The guys that have come on, the people that have been a part of it, it's been fantastic. I mean, I said it last week with the Phantom here. It's just a chance to reconnect with your buddies for the week, talk shop, like if we're all out together just sitting around, you know, somebody's backyard at a cookout or seeing each other around the holidays. It keeps the mind moving. It keeps us talking about different things, watching stuff, and like-minded individuals, whether you can be here every week or you are here every week. I think everybody, whether they believe it or not, they bring something to the podcast when they're on, whether it's, Keith's come on a couple of times. He's been fantastic. Like to get him on more. Dennis has been on a couple of times before. I'd like to get him on when we start doing football again. He's been great. It's just great to see the guys. Brad's been, busy the last couple of weeks. He's been here, but he brings so much energy to the podcast when he's here. And we talk about it all the time. Very thankful. And when Chris is Firing on all cylinders. He's funny. He brings a great, great comedic balance to it, whether it's one-liners or every once in a while when he gets a little wound up, it's great too. So I want to thank everybody that's been a part of it. And I even want to give a shout out to my buddy, Phil Marcelino, that has helped us out with the intro to the show a few times. And I forget to mention Phil, but I've tried to get him on the podcast a few times, and Phil just wants to be behind the scenes and do a few things. So yeah, we're working always to get better and have more fun and talk about different things. And we're open to having more guests. I'd like to get more guests. It's just sometimes it's tough schedule-wise and financial-wise. There's probably a lot of people we could get, but just a little bit out of our price range. Do you agree, Thomas?
Yes.
And go ahead.
I'm just going to segue into my shout-outs. I got a couple. First, I want to say happy anniversary to Mr. and Mrs. Phantom. I believe it was 22 years yesterday. And then I want to give a shout out and a happy anniversary to probably my oldest friend. I've known him probably since I was like second or third grade, Mark, and his wife, Sarah. It was their 11th anniversary yesterday. Brad, you may have crossed paths with these guys. They were both in the Air Force. And finally, I want to wish, I just want to say congratulations to Kelly's goddaughter. We went to her graduation party. She graduated from the University of Minnesota's veterinary department. So on to bigger and better things for you, Lizzie. Mm.
So to close this nice. Week's episode, we're going to the king of the tinfoil hat, the man from the South, not the mouth of the South, Bradford. You're going to close out the show. Let's go.
Dang, Tom, you remembered like three people's anniversaries. I can't even remember my own anniversary. You are a legend.
The first Facebook. One or the second one.
Yeah. Facebook memories.
You're a legend. So I want to shout out the family of wasps that I had to murk this weekend. I was hedge trimming the front bushes, and they just swarmed me, and I got stung. It hurt like a bitch. I did not cry because I'm a man. Instead, I went to the shed and I got my blowtorch and ended the entire bloodline and like took out half the bush. I don't care. The bush will grow back.
You're talking about yard work, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I burned a bush of yard work. Yes. The wasps were gone though. I won. Yeah. It was like 5-1. I got them.
Good man.
Yeah. Yeah. No more blowtorches, man. That's God's gift to fighting insects that sting. So that's it. That's my recommendation.
Words to live by. Yep. Be a man.
Buy a blowtorch. Be a man.
My takeaway from that is be a man. Suck it up. Be a man. Walk it off. Be a Gen Xer and walk that shit off. You fall down, you jump a sketchy ramp, walk that shit off.
Yeah.
Professor?
One more shout out, and I just saw this on Facebook or I would have forgotten about it, but the Phantom, once again, today, I believe his second son graduated high school today. So congratulations, Austin.
There you go.
Congrats.
UNH grad. He's going that way, right?
Yep.
All right. So with that being said, we're going to wrap up this episode for another week. These turkeys, yep, there you have it. Yep. Speaking of Bush, later, fellas. Later.